Blog Talk Radio.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. For this is the day that the Lord has made. And he will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You're tuned to Time to Talk About It. This is your host, Pastor G.W. Cheever Porter, coming to you from the city of Orlando, Florida, and the surrounding areas. We are so glad to be with you, 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 and you again today, wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing or going through. We want to pray you well today and trusting that you are praying also, trusting you are holding on to God's unchanging hands. Now today, call your friends, call your neighbors, text them. However you get in touch with them, get in touch with them now so that we all can have a good time in the Lord. And then bless the Lord. Call in 347-857-3925, 347-857-3925, and call in, will you? All right, we are going to be listening for your call and looking for you to have something to say about the Lord. Okay, right here is Sister Diane.
Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. We magnify your name. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanking you, O God, for this day that was in promise to us, O Lord. We thank you, we glorify, and we magnify you. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we ask you, O God, for forgiveness and those that we are praying for. Forgiveness of all sin that we have committed against you in thought, deeds, actions, knowingly and unknowingly, Father, grieving the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness. And Father, as you are just to forgive us, we forgive those that trespassed against us, Lord. Heavenly Father, as I lay my hand upon this prayer list, you know each and every person name by name, Lord, Father, what they're in need of. Heavenly Father, as we touch and agree right now for those that are asking for prayer for themselves, Lord, or for their loved ones, Lord, Father, we thanking you right now for your will being done in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Prophet Bostic right now, Lord, Father. Touch him right now from the crown of his head, Father God, to the soles of his feet as we cover him under the blood, Lord Father. And we ask, Lord Father, that you see about him right now in the name of Jesus. Touch those, Lord Father, that are surrounding him right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Pastor Williams right now, Lord Father. Father, we cover her under the blood from the crown of her head, Father God, to the soles of her feet. Continue, Lord Father, to speak healing over her, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done for her, Lord Father, doing for her and about to do for her, Lord Father. We thank you for touching her body right now, Lord Father. We thank you for that kidney right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father, we ask you right now, Lord Father, seal her room right now under the blood in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, touch those right now, Lord Father, that are going through dialysis, Lord. Father, that are going through chemo, Lord, for cancer or in need, Lord Father, an organ, Lord Father. Touch them right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. You say healing is the children's bread, Lord. And Father, we thanking you right now, Lord Father, for their healing, Lord, for your will being done in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Father, how you touch Barbara right now, Lord Father, that she is in remission, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for not giving up on her, Lord Father. We thank you for being that God of many chances right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father, that she may tell others, Lord Father, how you have brought her through, what you have done for her right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for those that we was praying for, Lord Father, that was diagnosed with COVID, Lord Father. We thank you for touching their bodies, Lord Father. We thank you for touching their immune system, Lord. Father, we thank you for hearing the prayers right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. And we cancel every side effect, Lord Father, that COVID might try to have in their bodies, Lord Father. We cancel it and render it null and void right now in the name of Jesus as they continue, Lord Father, to heal, Lord Father, as they continue to praise you, Lord Father, knowing that it was no one but you, Lord Father. Father, on them standing, trusting, believing, Lord Father, in the word and in the prayer as prayer was going forward, Lord Father. Father, we hold before you the fivefold ministry, Lord Father, those that are standing flat-footed on your word, Lord Father, preaching, teaching your people, warning them in this day and in this time, Lord Father. We ask that you continue to strengthen them right now in the name of Jesus. Cover them under the blood from the crown of their head, Father God, to the soles of their feet. And Father, as you continue to keep that hedge of protection round about them in the name of Jesus. Father, we take nothing and no one for granted, Lord Father. We hold before you Ruth Roman right now, Lord Father. Father, she's asking you right now to intervene on her behalf right now, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for touching her body in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, touch Miss Maddie right now, Lord Father. Touch all those, Lord Father God, that are dealing with her paperwork, Lord Father. Intervene on her behalf, Lord Father. Oh, Father, touch in a mighty and a special way, Lord Father. Let your will be done right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this broadcast, Lord Father. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to bring forth your word each and every time, Lord Father. Father, whether they are listening live or, Father, listen at a later date or whatever devices that they're listening on, Lord Father, let them receive that word today, Lord Father. You give us free will, O God. And we're thanking you right now, Lord Father, for them using that free will right now to accept you as their Lord and Savior, Lord Father, for them to receive your word, Lord Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we cancel every assignment that was sent towards this broadcast to try and hinder anyone speaking or listening on this broadcast, and we render it null and void right now in the name of Jesus. Father, touch our listeners, give them the ears to hear and the heart to receive the word, Lord Father. Father, touch them, Lord Father. See about their needs right now, for you say you will supply all our needs, Lord Father. And we say thank you. Father, I ask, Lord Father, that you continue, Lord Father, to decrease my apostle, my bishop, my pastor, the speakers that continually, Lord Father, come on this broadcast, Lord Father, as you continue to increase in them, Lord Father, as they continue to let you use them, Lord Father, bless them in a mighty and a special way, Lord. And as they pour into us, Lord Father, we ask you to refresh, refill, and rejuvenate them, Lord, as we cover them under the blood right now, knowing that no weapon that is formed against them shall prosper. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, and amen again. We thank the Lord for the prayer. Now, if you didn't get any prayer in, your name wasn't called, then you didn't give it to us, all right? So we want you to call us at 347-857-3925. Give us that call and give us the name, your name or whoever name it is that you desire for us to pray for. All right? All right. We appreciate that today. Here's a little word for you today, just a small word. As the ship is not made for the harbor, nor the bird for her nest, neither is man made for the storm cellar. As the ship is not made for the harbor, nor the bird for her nest, neither is man made for the storm cellar. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's all of what God made it for, right? Amen. We want to thank God again for you, you and you. We want to thank God for Bishop Porter, for us, with us right this minute. He'll be gone in a few minutes. Very busy man. Praise God. Very busy man these days. We thank God for Sister Diane praying. And we thank God for you. You and you. We thank God for the listeners, those of you that are listening, and those that listen on a continual basis. We thank God for you, those who call their friends and whoever to listen. We thank God for you. We thank you for being our PR person. Amen. We do thank you for that today. Most of all, we thank God for Jesus. We thank Him for bringing all of us this far, for forgiving us for our sins that we committed. We thank God for that. Don't you thank God for it?
Amen.
Well, I know I do. Amen, amen, amen. If it wasn't for God on our side, what would we do? We wouldn't have a prayer. Do you realize that? Nothing at all would we have. But I thank Him for being a provider. I thank Him for being that wonderful counselor. I thank Him for being the rose of Sharon. Ooh, Lord, I just thank Him for being my Savior. I thank Him for giving up His life that I may live. Oh,
yes,
praise
Lord.
God, praise God, praise God. You ought to thank Him where you are now. If you're not ashamed of Him, holler out, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So many people, I don't want to disturb anybody. Disturb them. Disturb them. Praise God. Everybody need to be disturbed. You need to be stirred. Praise God. Hallelujah. My God. God, my God, get your motor working today. Hey, hallelujah. God is good to us. Did you know how good God is? Have you looked around to see what God done already done for you? Not what He ain't done. Not by what the pandemic has done to the lives of people. We're not looking at that. But look at what He already done. Look how far He brought you. Huh? And look what He brought you through. He done brought you through some hard stuff. You know, think about it. Think about it today. I want you to think about it. And when you think about it, think how good God is to you. I ain't going to just say have been, but how good He is to you. Because He brought you through the mess you was in. Now, don't sit up and say you ain't never been in no mess. Because everybody on this phone, everybody listening, have been in some kind of mess. Some kind. See? Praise God. Amen. So people so busy. I've been good all my life. Good? What kind of good? Backward good? D-O-O-G, dog? Good? What kind of good? See what I'm saying? And you don't want to admit you done you know, been through, everything been good in my life. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I had good parents. I had good sisters and brothers. I had good friends. I had good school life. I ain't even had a good school life. Come on, because they were crazy up in there. Praise the Lord. You ever been to school in New York? You got some crazies up in there, all kind of people up in there. My God, I wonder if you get through school. Lord Jesus. Talking about, everything was so, my life, it was so wonderful. What was the best part of your life when you went to school? Sister Diane said it was recess. It probably was lunch and recess. If you ain't got no lunch, so it must be must be just playing and ain't got nothing else to do. My God. Hallelujah. So we done had messes somewhere in our lives and God done brought us out. And you still alive. Think about that. I am still alive. No matter how old you are, well, I don't want to tell my age. I said, okay, you don't want to tell your age, but you're still here.
Amen.
And if the will of God be done, you be there another year or two, still be there. But you still got something to thank God for. You see what I'm saying? Because you're still here. I don't care if every day you go through hell. But the fact is you went through it and you ain't stayed in it. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. You could say amen to that. Hallelujah. God brought me through. Brought me through. T-H-R-O-U-G-H. Brought you through. He didn't tell you to stay in it. He didn't tell you to sink, swim or die. He didn't tell you none of that. He brought you through. And when he brought you through, he did it with what? A mighty hand. A mighty hand. Think of it. Can't you say thank you, Jesus? See, I can't understand why nobody don't never have nothing to say to the Lord about the Lord. And nothing to say, you know. Everything is about the surrounding things that are going on. Everything is about the situation that's going on. I'm in a bad situation. You know, we'll go through that all the time. Yeah, I ain't in it. I'm going through it. See, I ain't finna stay. I'm not planting my feet in no bad situation. I'm going through it. Don't care how much of pain. I'm going through it. I don't care how much you talk. I'm going through it. It just don't matter. Because God is the through fare to get you out. Hear what I say, the through fare. Okay? He brings you out every time. If you just depend on him and trust him, if I don't say nothing else today, more today, if you just trust God, depend on him, you can say, I'm out of this. I am overcoming everything that the enemy come up with me. Okay. I'm coming through it. I'm already through. See? He said, yea, though I walk through the God. I'm walking through it. He gives you passageway, did he not? God gave you passageway through it.
Yes, he did.
You know, when your child is extremely sick, and that's the time you really don't know how you're going to make it through. You don't know how you're going to make it through. You don't know if you're going to make it through. You feel so, you don't even know how you be feeling. And all you know is you want them to get better. You want them, and God, why you have to do them like that? I'd rather have that than them to have it. You go through these things, but you only going through it because God knew you would come out of it on top. He knew you were going to come out on top. He knew he was bringing you right on out, and you're going to come out with what? Flying colors every time. Isn't that right? Now, since you know that, what's your decision? Huh? Now that you know that, what is your decision? Now, let me say this here. We was discussing something to that on the last Bible talk. We were discussing that. The decisions we make, things we, you know, decide, and we think it's all our idea. Every time we make a decision, we think it's all our idea, right? Well, now think about this. If the Lord would put a lying spirit in the mouth of a prophet, now whose decision was that? Huh? God made that decision to put that spirit of lying in that prophet's mouth, didn't he? Huh? The prophet couldn't do nothing else but lie. He had no control of that at all, did he? Now, these decisions that you're making today, I ain't going to be able to go through. I can't get through this, Lord. Lord, why are you doing me like this? God, why am I hurting so bad? Lord, why I ain't got no money? Lord, why I ain't got no husband? Lord, you don't need none of that. No. He made the decision for you to go through these things. Then go. Can you go through without crying? Can you go through without complaining? Can you go through? Think about this now. When the Israelites was in the wilderness, they cried all the time. You say, what you mean they cried all the time? They cried all the time. Did you ever wonder why they was there so long? Decisions that they were making, not God, they were making, caused God to make his own decision about the situation. Now, these ungrateful folks, I done brought out, and they ain't learned nothing yet. They should have begun to learn when he brought them out the first gate. Don't you think they should have learned? Now, I'm going to read you something that I ran across a while ago. And it's all about the decision making. We're going to kind of stick on that a little bit. About that decision. Now, I asked y'all to read this. But I don't guess nobody had no time to read it. They're too busy sleeping. But that was your decision. All right, it's the third chapter of Hebrews. I saw quite a bit in here. Let me show you what happened. I'm going to show you what happened. You got your own decisions you making. I want you to hear this. I'm going to start from the first verse. I gave you another chapter. The third chapter. And the first verse I'm going to start from. I gave you another verses to start from, but I'm going to start there. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Now, notice now, Moses was faithful in all his house. Not a part of his house wasn't faithful. That's what he practiced in his household. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had built the house had more honor than the house. We're talking about Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. All right? The first word they say, the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. That's who we talk about. For every house is built by some man. But he that build all things is God. See, making it very clear to you, isn't it? You ain't built nothing. Them decisions you make ain't even yours. Do you get it?
Mm-hmm.
Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house. Listen at this. Whose house are we? Did you see who you belong to? Hmm? Do you see who you belong to? Do you see what the words say, what you belong to? I just want you to be clear about that now. Whose house we are. That's who we belong to. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope from whom the end. Firm hope unto the end. We got to rejoice and keep that. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear his voice. Hmm? Now, when you hear the voice of God, you have a decision to make. Aren't I right? You have a decision to make. All right? And I was thinking about when we was reading Joshua, thinking about Joshua, when we were talking about Joshua had to stand at the foot of the mountain as Moses went up into the mountain. What happened? He followed directions, didn't he? He stayed, and he stayed there until I come back. Now, he did not allow the enemy to make a decision for him. Well, he been gone off a long time. You ought to leave now and go back. Ain't you hungry? Well, I'm quite sure he had a bag of food with him. God provided. If not, he did an involuntary fast. You see? But he made the decision to do what the man of God said. Stay there till he come back. Now, did he know how long he was going to stay there, how long it was going to take for him going up there? It's a whole lot of stuff he wanted to know and a lot of stuff God wanted to do for him and everything else. But he told him to stay there. But now he made the decision to stay, right? But guess what? The people of Israel, that great, the magnificent bunch of people, they made their decision too, didn't they? Well, he been gone so long, so we might as well go do our own thing. So they made a decision, didn't they? Hmm? They brought Egypt with them, in them. Okay? So therefore, they were doing what the Egyptians do. Building other gods, taking the gold and building other gods. And God didn't tell them to get that gold for that. But they made the decision. That's what they were going to do. See? Well, Joshua ain't back either, and Moses ain't back. I guess the animals, the wild animals done killed them. See, they made their decision, okay? But God had other things planned. Do you see what I'm saying? His decision was nowhere in the way like theirs. But listen what he said. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. You know when you was in the wilderness and you didn't listen? What is he telling the Hebrews now? Harden not your heart as you did in that day. Don't harden your heart. when your fathers tempted me. See what I'm saying by you tempting God? Prove me and saw my works. 40 years. Now, you mean it took you 40 years to get it? That's a long time to be round one around crazy. Ain't got no good sense. Wouldn't you say that of the world today? And this is more than 40 years. Since Jesus came and gave his life, built this house, built us up to be his house. We are the household of faith. We're the house. And notice now, we are the house that people look at. And when they look at us, according to what our house is built of, they make a decision where they want a house too. See, they make their decision because they look at you in your house. You didn't think about that, did you? I knew you did. But we do that. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation. Don't you think Jesus, God, is grieved with this generation? You see so many catastrophes going on. You see so much weather turbulence is going on. You see so many people, they don't know whether they coming or they going. They don't know what to do. They don't know right from wrong anymore. Seem like their senses is gone. Do you see that going on this generation? Huh? And this is what they said. And said, they do always err in their heart. And they have not known my ways. Oh, my God. Did you hear what God said? They do these things, huh? They got the errors in their heart. It's in their hearts, huh, for this generation. This generation now generation. This now generation. You know, this is the now generation. He said, they have not known my ways. It's in their heart. They have not known my ways. So now when you see people doing all these dumb things, just say they don't know God. And if they talking about they Christians, say, oh, boy, don't argue with them. Just say to yourself, Lord, they don't know you. Did you hear that? So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Well, did you hear that? God said they will not enter into his rest. Now, isn't that what happened in them 40 years? Huh? Remember them 40 years now? They were out there wandering around. Okay? Because their decisions did not meet what God had for them. Decisions they were making at the time. And can you imagine the murmuring for 40 years? They were out there murmuring and complaining. Not one day was they saying thank you. Not one day were they was glorifying God for bringing them out away from Pharaoh. They complained when they was in there, and they complained when they got out. Are you like that? You ask God to bring you out of them trouble you was in with this crazy people, and he brought you out, then you still complaining because he didn't take you where you want to go. Before he can get you to where you need to go, I didn't say where you want to go, I said where you need to go, you have to be processed. Do you get it? You got to grow up. You have to be processed. because you came out with that evilness and it was stuck to you, glued to you, like a gorilla glue. It won't come off. See? And therefore you don't know what to do. You can't get it off. You think you all right because you are with the crowd. See? Your decision brought you in with the big crowd, with the whole lot of people, with the rich people, with the, you know, let me tell you. You think about it, God ain't want you with every rich person, do he? Because I remember when I was getting ready, trying to get ready to go to Africa, I didn't know what kind of church it was, per se, but I trusted the one that I was going to be traveling with because I knew them. They had pointed me in another direction into the Caribbean, so I trusted them when they say, we're going to go to Africa. So I was getting ready. But, you know, God allowed something to happen to me where I could not get my shots. I'm allergic to so much stuff. And he would not allow me to get my shots, so I couldn't go. But she went on, she said, well, maybe next time. I said, okay, maybe next time. But when she come back, I asked about it, and she say the entire church was wealthy people. There wasn't a person in the church that was not wealthy. And if there is one come in that is not wealthy and that says they want to be have a business, they will all put so many hundreds of thousands of dollars in the pot so that they could be wealthy too. I said, Lord, I sure wish I had been there. Now that's me. But God did not need me to be going there for that. I said, man, the whole church. She say everything in the church, even the maids and everything, was wealthy. I say, wow. And she was telling me how beautiful it was and how they served them the best food of everything. And it just had a rich time. I said, wow, that sounds like something I sure would like. Mm-hmm. But when you look at it, it was God's decision. He could have done things differently in my life so that I could go. Because I was determined to go. I was ready to go. I was in the go ye season. But his decision was that it's not your decision to go at this time because I have other plans for you. Do you see? Only time is not your time to go places. I know we said, I going. Oh, Lord, don't let me remember that time. Praise God.
Yes, Lord.
I know Sister Diane was so mad with me, you could have, she could have cut my eyeballs out. She was mad. And I say, Dad, I hate to say this to you, baby. I say, but I hear the Lord say, don't go. And, boy, her mouth swole up and everything else. She looked at me so funny, she could have killed me with her looks. I said, now, something is going to happen there. You shouldn't be in.
Yep.
And he don't want you to go.
Yes, yes, yes.
And listen here. And she fought with it, and she fought, and she puffed up, and she pouted, and all them eyes rolled, and they, oh, my God. I said, well, now, listen, you grown. You can do what you want to do, but I'm just telling you what God said to me. I don't know all the particulars. He just said something is going to happen there, and he didn't want you in it. That's all. Don't go. And, you know, she didn't go. Of course, they were mad with her, called all kind of names and everything, you know. I'd rather listen to God, obey God, than man. Man ain't got nowhere to send me. If anything, they'd send me to hell. That would be their choice. But when I make the decision, I'm sorry, I can't come, you should take my word. You should know me enough, or you should love somebody here enough, God or me or somebody. But she just had, no, they blame me, of course, which is a good thing, okay, because God used me to tell them, you know, not to. But she listened. And after all was said and done, it's a whole lot of yum, yum, yum went on. You see? A lot of stuff went on. And she'd have been right in the center of it. You see what I'm talking about? God kept her. Did you hear what I'm saying? God kept her. No, it wasn't me. That was God kept her. When God say don't, he mean don't. See, but God worked with me in a different way. Okay? He stopped me cold turkey. When I say cold turkey, it's like he paralyzes my whole body. Because I guess other than that, I'm going. I was headed for the doctor to get the shot. And my body froze up, wouldn't move. And I like the time I told you I made the decision. Lord, I'm tired of being broke. Every time I look, I'm broke all the time, and I ain't got no money. Me and my crying to God. So, I was getting me a job, and I had to go to the interview. I had my clothes all laid out to go to the interview. People waiting for me on the interview. Easy job. Easy job. Pay, nice pay. I liked it. It was good. I could make it with that money. It's better than no money at all. Because I was working on no money at all then. Let me tell you. When God said, I called you, he mean I called you. You working what? By faith. You living by faith. In God. Not in man. In God. Well, now, my decision was, I ain't got no money, Lord. I'm tired of living up here. Ain't got no money. And people looking at me all strange, you know, and everything. And I'll never be having no money, and you know, and all that. I was just so tired of that. Let me tell you one thing. He froze me up again. When I say God froze me, he froze me. My body, entire body got paralyzed again. That's the second time he had done paralyzed the body. It wouldn't move. And guess what? My telephone was too far to get to. Couldn't call nobody. Now, that is the strangest thing I had ever seen. And I stayed like that till 5 o'clock. Whatever had me in that position, 5 o'clock, it let me go. Did you see what I'm saying? I say God do some phenomenal things at times. When he say, I say you live by faith. Because I be always trying to get a job. I don't mind going to work, getting my own money. I just don't want to be waiting for somebody to give me money. Because people are so funny when they got to you give you some of their money. They want to own you. They going to tell you everything, what to do, what to say. And I am not a person. I'm not a yes man. I'm not a person to for you to be ordering around, telling me all what to do. I want to listen to God and only God. I don't listen to nothing. So I heard God say work, but then, you know, you start listening to people. That you need to get a job, and that's what you did. I'm a pastor, pastoring a bunch of crazy people. They don't understand faith. Well, I really didn't understand it that much at the time. But I just want to get a job. I want all my money, Lord. I need some money, Lord. You know I'm used to having money in my pocket. See? And God let me go. So the person that got me the job say, well, what happened? I said, you ain't going to believe it if I tell you. What happened? And God let me go just like that. I didn't go the next day or any time like that. I said, let me leave that alone. Do you know I was all right? After then, I was all right. You said, did you get any money? No. I was in the learning process of how to live by faith, the faith of God, how to trust in him completely. I was going through so that I can make it through to the other side. See, like, these Israelites was in there all them years. They ain't learned nothing when they was in Egypt. So you know they ain't going to learn nothing out there, because who going to teach them? They ain't listening to God. The way God brought them out. Told them to borrow to get the jewelry from the Egyptian, because they ain't going to need it. Get all their little jewelry and all their gold and stuff. Get it and come on out, because they ain't going to need it. Well, they didn't know why they wasn't going to need it. All they know, they were enemies. But if God told you to do it and them Egyptians was giving it up, you know God had a plan. You see what I'm saying? God have a plan, no matter whether you understand it or not. See? He worked 40 years trying to get them to understand and to see. I made the decision to bring you out. I told you I wasn't going to bring you out to 400 years. Now, that's a long time for God to have them in bondage. If you get out after 400 years, all that long time you've been there eating those leeks and onions, and that's all you had to eat, and making bricks out of straw and all of that stuff. Well, now, how you making bricks out of straw? Somebody had to be helping you, didn't it? God was with them, watching them as they were in bondage. Because he had told them they're going to be in bondage that long. He told them that. That's the sign that you know my deliverer coming. Going to get you out. I'm going to get you out. But what was God doing? He made a decision that maybe they'll change. Maybe they'll stop serving other gods. Maybe they'll stop complaining and so much. Maybe. And here we are right at this pinnacle again, complaining. Huh? the pandemic and we ain't doing nothing and I ain't go nothing. I'm on a party and I want to look fly and I, we going on and on. This generation going on and we complaining about this. And when we going to come to normal? You don't even know what normal is. We do not know what normal is because we ain't never lived normal a day in our life. Everything that we have lived all our life was because somebody else made the decision to do it. Your mother made a decision how she was going to raise you. She made a decision what she was going to eat, what she was going to feed you. Then what kind of training you was going to have. She had to make all those decisions. See, and you still thinking, I'm doing it myself. You ain't doing it nothing. And then after you grew up, you made decisions according to how she made her decision. So your decision is coinciding with her decision, and therefore you find out your decision is not feasible for you. So now you got to change things. Oh, my God. Do you see what I'm saying? And the beat goes on. Because of our decision making. We don't confer with God and say, God, what is you saying about this? What should I do concerning this? Would you do like Samuel? When he went to Eli, we talked to Eli. And God was calling Samuel. He wanted to know who he was. Now, you would think Eli would kind of give him more of some more good advice. But Eli couldn't give him no advice because he didn't get no good advice to his own children. See? He did not advise his own children. You see what I'm saying? When you don't advise your own children, you cause them to err. And when they err, what happens? They meet destruction. That's another generation lost. Nobody's fault but yours because of your decision that you made. Eli made the wrong decision. He paid for it and his children. Paid for that. Do you see what I'm saying about paying for things? We paying for things now of what we have let our children do and let them, I don't believe I'm going to make my child go to church. They go if they want to because I know what it was when I was made going. Uh-huh. You know what it was. But you made this decision not to teach your children about the church, about the Lord. You going to pay, and they going to pay. And somebody going to pay the lawyer. See? Because you made that decision. We make decisions. I don't want my child to be grown up like I did with nothing. Well, you seem to have made it all right. You got yourself a nice job working and everything. Well, teach your child the same thing, how to work and make their own, not how to be a bum, not how to go out and sell drugs. You making the decision, going out there and steal them pocketbooks. I tell you, once I had to rebuke a lady one time about that, her children, grandchildren, or some of them, whatever, whoever she had there. They were going out. They were snatching people's purses, bringing them home to her. She get the money out of whatever in there. I say, listen, you going to jail too.
because you just as guilty as they are. You partaking of it. I said, now you better stop it. So God put his hand in there, and we know where we visit you at. And she put a stop to it, too. Yes, she did. The woman put a stop to it. But we make these decisions, and we think they're all right. As long as something coming in. Well, something is coming in. You get a check every month. Ain't that something coming in? What, you greedy? Then go get a job. If it's that bad, if it's, you can't make it on that check you got. You can with God. You can make it the check you got. Even though you're not making $15 an hour, you can still make it, but you need the help of God. Make that decision today that you're going to look to God. See, I made the decision that no matter what people say and how they talk about me, I'm going to trust my God. My God. I ain't trusting your God. I'm trusting my God, because you don't trust your own God. So I'm trusting my God. Evidently, we don't have the same God. See, I'd rather tell my children, trust God. Doesn't matter. I don't care what's wrong with you, how sick you are, trust God. Can't get these grandchildren to trust God? I said, Lord, I'm not going to sit up and beat my head against the wall for them. I done told them from the time they was little. They had parents that told them other things. And nothing I do about it, because they weren't my children and they didn't allow me to help them. So now they wild. Do you see what I'm saying? That was not my decision. That was their decision. I lived by their decision, but in the same token, I decided to, another decision I made was to pray for them. Maybe God will listen and turn them around. Maybe. See, I am making that decision to pray for them. I pray for you and yours also, whether you have some little knothead children that won't listen, children, grandchildren, call them grandchildren. This generation, Lord, have mercy. Seem like when they come out, they just like the rest of the world. As soon as they come out, you ain't had a chance to teach them nothing yet. See? But the decision should be made while carrying them. Did you hear what I'm saying? Huh? While you're carrying your child, the decision should be made that I'm going to talk to it about Jesus while it's in the womb. Hello? Did you see? I'm just giving you a little tip there for you to help you. I know you don't want to hear it. You don't want to believe it and all that good stuff. Well, now listen anyhow. Somewhere down the line, it may get to you. I believe in one thing. Talking about Jesus. I was adopting a little girl a long time ago. I love that little girl. I was just thinking about her the other day. I know she's grown now. She loved me and I love her. But it was some crooked, crazy people. What happened? It's too long to tell you about it. I love that little girl. She loved me. She's smart as a whip. She could sing, and she was a little toddler. And she learned to sing church songs. I took her to church just about every day. I go to prayer meeting, I took her to church. I go to the church in the evening, I took her to church. I took her to church every day. And then come the time, all of a sudden, here come her mother now. She want to take her after had a good while now. And she didn't want to go. And she said, Mommy, I don't want to go. Mommy, you know, just going on. I said,
Ain't nothing I could do, baby. Ain't nothing I could do. I don't. She didn't legally turn over yet. You know, but she claims she was. Let me tell you one thing. I say, God, I'm going to have to put everything I got in her. Trusting. See what I'm saying now? Trusting that you, God, get inside her enough as she's this young. That she'll remember the songs. She'll remember when we prayed and talked over and talked about God to her and everything. That's what I hope for her. I haven't seen her, got in touch with her note since then. You know, I cried a lot, but I didn't. Couldn't. Because the people who took her and took her from her mother, took her, wouldn't allow nobody to see her. But they did abuse to her. That hurt me even more because she must have had an inkling. Something was telling her something was going to go wrong when she got there. I tell you, that thing was hurting me so bad I didn't want to get close to another child. Did you hear me? That thing hurt me. Bad, 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 bad. Okay? To see the little baby crying like that, don't want to go because she heard what they were talking about they going to do. The stuff they were going to do to her. And they did. I don't know how she turned out after that. And I thought about her just the other day. Just a couple of days ago. I said, wow, I hadn't thought about her in a long time. Lord, I trust she all right. If she's asking about me, God, let her see me in a dream or whatever. I'm just asking God to work a miracle for her. I know what she's been through. I know what she's been through. And it's been a long time. And I know God is able. God can do it. God can even bring her right in front of me. And I probably wouldn't know who I'm looking at. But just like God told her, oh, somebody I knew and I had a little ministry before years ago in the 70s or some 70s, early 70s, they found me. They kept looking till they found me. She could find me too. I believe that today. You hear what I'm saying? I made decisions to pray that way because she was a wonderful person. I don't know what she's into, what she know or whatever, whatever now. But she came to mind, so I should pray for her. If God brought her to my mind, she needs prayer. She may have seen me in a vision or something. God might have showed her me. Do you get what I'm saying? God is awesome. Do you hear me? And when we have to make decisions that are hard, I could not go any other way but with the decision I had to let her go because she was not legally mine. I had no choice. She cried, I cried, we just cried, everybody cried. See, we just cried, cried, cried. That was the last I saw. You know, last I saw. I gave all her stuff away, her clothes and, you know, everything. You know, she had her own room and everything. You know, she been living with me for years, about a year or two. She's living with me, okay? But God, see, even the hard-making decisions, sometimes we have to make hard decisions about things in life. You know, it's hard, but you know what? God has a reason for it. There's reasons and purposes in your decision. See?
He works it out so that you can come to the point where you can begin to make a decision. You don't be so decisive. Well, I know, I ain't going to do that. Yeah, I guess I'll do that. No, I won't do that. We be just so back and forth. Sometimes we don't even know if we want friends or not. We be back and forth trying to make a decision. Well, I think they'll be a nice friend. Well, no, I don't believe they will. Well, you know, you back and forth over something. But let me tell you one thing. What did the Lord tell them? Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You depart from him. He don't depart from you. You made that decision. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin will cause you to be so deceitful. Do you see the picture there? Why you want to do it then? Why? He said, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. But we got to hold it. You can't get rid of it just because you decided. I decided, Lord, to get out of that. He say he wants you to go through. Because he going to be with you all the way. That's what he said. He'll be with you. He said, I'll never leave you. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. Didn't he just tell you that a few minutes ago? For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Not all of them. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Oh, you mean you made God grieve? Oh, my goodness. See? And you thought you couldn't grieve God, didn't you? When you have unbelief and sin reigning, you don't believe, don't you know you grieve God? I told you, read the word, didn't I? Now listen with that. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcass fell in the wilderness? They died. All those, was it above 20, died in the wilderness. He killed every one of them for unbelief. See, I told you they brought Egypt with them. Instead of getting rid of Egypt, changing, 40 years, they kept it. But the generation of 20 and under, God was what God let come through. Can you see that? A younger generation. Now think about this day now, people. Those of you that are elderly, think about it now. Huh? This generation of younger people. God is raising up younger people. Now we could say 20 and under, right? We'll go like what they had in the wilderness. 20 and under. We'll do 20 and under. Now, we don't know exact age, but we know it's going to be young. I'm not going to say God ain't going to use me. He used me for my experience. Okay? To help the young ones where they haven't been taught, where their parents decided not to teach them. Older person like me with experience
has to take up the slack with the younger people that they may know, you know, when they cross over, you know, they cross over on this side of Jordan, the ones that came through the wilderness, those that went to the promised land. He took all believers with him, didn't he? So now, 40 years in there, and all the old folks had to leave. He had to get rid of that generation. Do you see? Now he's going to do the same thing today, and is doing the same thing today. And God don't care nothing about numbers, y'all. See? He doesn't, if we count numbers, well, I want a church full of people. I only want a church full of God's people who God sent, who God called, who will obey God, who can get the job done, who is not afraid to go forth, who's not afraid to make a decision and stay with it. See, we got to stay with the decisions we make. Do you know? Well, that's the job you chose. So don't fuss about it. Don't argue about it. Don't get mad with the people. Because you chose that job. You said, yeah, you signed the paper for the work there and get that kind of money. So don't get mad, because you got a lot of work. And you got to make decisions on everything. Don't say, well, I don't want to make that decision. Well, somebody got to make it. Who's the boss? Don't the boss got to make a decision? Now, why you just started working there, you want to make somebody else's decision? Go get your own business, you see? People do crazy things, but it's not their job to do. But let me say this, that God got a rest for you. I'm just going to tell you what this. The first and second verse of the fourth chapter say, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Whoa. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, how are you going to come into the rest? Do you see what I'm saying? The fact is we really don't come into a rest because we don't listen. What rest we going to get into? We're going to be just like these people out in the wilderness. Be just like them, unbelief, complaining. That's the generation right now. Let me see, between what, we'll say the ones that are over 50 and over, especially them. What are they saying today? We want to live the way we want to live. We want to shack. We want to have our perverted relationship. We want to smoke dope if we want to. We want to cuss our mamas out. And all these hip things, and we don't want to go to church. Somebody want to go to, what's that man name? Kenya. What's his name? Yeah, Kenya West. Yeah. They want to go to his church because he got church outside somewhere, and he's a celebrity, so everybody want to go to his church. He don't even want to be in his church. You want to go to his church, so you leave your church that you've been. You made that decision now. Now when he leads you into the wrong path, what you going to do? Who you going to blame? I know you want this young age. You want these young, beautiful people. You don't want all these old people with wrinkles and every hair and gray hair. You don't want them telling you nothing. So you leave your church you've been. Well, I've been in that church all my life. Well, put some more life in it. Use some of your ideas in there to put a spark in there if the spark gone. To talk to the pastor or something. Do something. I try to get up, go, and gun out here with some of these. You want to go with these celebrities because they made a name in the music. Now I'm talking to you. Now that's because that's what you do. That's this generation. You know. Now, Kanye didn't stop y'all. He told you to come on. Because he's going to build him a church. Next, he'll build a building, won't he? See how it goes? Now, then you want Beyonce. Then she got a church. Some woman opened up a church, the Church of Beyonce in New York. And all these people done probably ain't never went to church. This is the kind of church I want to, because they playing all Beyonce music. What? What about Jesus music? And the preacher up there with her robe and everything on and the hat on her head and everything. Yes, I decide. Now, ain't nobody told her to do that but the devil. Now, you know. And they up there boogie-woogie doing the Beyonce dance up in the church like, it's okay with God. They doing it. I say, Jesus, what's next? What are these people going to do next? Now, they made that decision. She made the decision to open it. She loved Beyonce. Well, ain't nothing wrong. You love her and all that stuff, but I don't worship her. Don't worship her. That's come to the point where you are worse. You just like Jezebel. Now you Jezebel. See? Because you worshiping her. So you having a church to her in her name. And they play what? Her music? That's the music they play. They got the choir up there singing. That's what they sing. Beyonce song. Now, I haven't heard lately what they did, but it would be something if she say, look, put this to a stop now. God say, worship him and have no other gods before him. That's the proper way to do things, see. But do we make those decisions today? We don't want to do the proper things, do we? See, we want to be seen. We want everybody to look. We want the TV cameras to come in and take a picture and view me, and the people come in and just throw that money on in here. That's what we want, right? Yeah, we need money. Yes, we do. Everybody need money, don't they? These days with so many jobs closed, we need some cash. But we also still need Jesus more. He'll make the cash. Just like he told Peter to fish, throw the line over there. Go in and pick up the first fish, come out. Get that fish there. I'm giving you one big fish. You ain't got to get no whole lot of them either. You ain't got to have no net full. Just get one of them fish. And in that fish, gonna be everything you need. And it was to pay everything off. You think he still can't do that? But make a decision to have faith in God. Make that decision today, right now. that you're going to trust him to guide you. Trust him. He can work with you if you want him to. I find out he ain't coming if you don't want him. If you have unbelief, that's what he's telling you now. If you have unbelief, he ain't coming. Don't even think about it. Huh? But now, what can come? The devil will come as the angel of light. He'll pretend he is to do what? To let you make the wrong decision to go with him, just like they did in the Bible. That lying spirit caused Ahab to get killed, and he thought he wasn't. He thought he gonna trick him. You made a decision. You made a decision to marry Jezebel. You shouldn't have married. But you made that decision. You said, okay, you let her pull you on into it. Okay? Don't let nobody pull y'all into anything. Nobody did. I love you. I love each and every one of you. Oh, yes. And God be with you. Keep you strong. Let you always ask God, what should I do? Should I go? Should I not go? Whatever. Because suppose you're going on an airplane and he tell you don't go. Well, maybe that airplane going to fall or crash. He trying to keep you alive. Do you get what I'm saying? Don't catch the plane. Catch a later one. Do you see? These are the decisions. You got to learn how to listen to God so that you always make the right decision, the right everything. Hmm? All right. I ain't going to talk no more right now. It's just the day.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank God for that awesome word coming forward from Apostle Porter. Decision, decision, decision. Have you made your decision today? Have you made your decision to say, Lord, I accept you in my life as my Lord and Savior? Have you made that decision to come out of the world today? You know, it's one thing I like that Apostle said, well, it's more than one thing, but, you know, and he said, before you can go where God wants you to go, you have to be processed. We have to be process, and God knows it was a process when I was told not to go. Yes, yes, yes. Sometimes we don't want to hear that word. Why? Because we want what we want, and we are grown. But you know what? We are not grown in God, because when he says something, he means what he says. So if you say don't go, don't go. And sometimes, not sometimes, when we are disobedient to the word, there is consequences to every decision that you make. There is a consequence to pay. So every action, a reaction to that action that you did. So continue to trust in God today. Know that he will not lead you astray. He will not tell you to do anything wrong. Harden not your heart. So today, for those of you that have the ears to hear and that heart to receive the word that been coming forth each and every day, I know you turn on the radio, you hearing a word. You go on Facebook, you hearing a word. It doesn't matter where you turn, you hearing that word. What decision are you making today? Are you making that decision to take heed to the word? We just thank each and every listener that continue listening on a continual basis, continually supporting, continually praying for the speakers. I tell you, God is an awesome God. And don't ever feel that God is not a forgiving God. Don't ever feel that he is not a God of many chances. He is, and he gives us that choice. He gives us that free will decision. What is decision? Decision is a choice. What are you going to choose today? So tune in tomorrow. This is your choice. Tune in tomorrow to hear another powerhouse of God, Pastor Sharon. Tell your friend. Share it with a friend. You missed this broadcast. You want to hear this broadcast from the beginning? Visit our Facebook page at Logion International Ministries and click on the link and listen. Share it with a friend. Share it on your page. If that message have touched you and you have not accepted God as your Lord and Savior, do so. Time is at hand. Do so today. So tune in tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That calling number is 347-857-3925. Till then, be blessed.
On my mind, searching for that peace, the peace I could not find. Then I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. Then you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs. When I stop worrying,
worrying how the story ends,
when I let go,
I let go,
then I let it
come,
let him have,
let God have his way.
That's when things
start happening. I stop looking at that thing,
when I let go,
I let go,
when I let
God,
let him struggle from day to day. I had to realize it's not my battle, it's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in his hands, everything would be alright, yeah. As soon as I stop
worrying how the story is,
God, my sister, you can't handle it. Let God.